And now, to the millions and millions of listeners and viewers all across the world,
it's the
That's Not Christian Podcast.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Switch. I'm here with your man, Jimmy. I'm here with your man, Ant. I'm here with your man, Jay. And we have a very, very special guest from Rapzilla, Justin Sarachek. Yeah.
Hey, what up?
Hey.
Puerto Rican representative. I see you got that hat on today, huh?
I saw you guys and I was like, all right, you know, I gotta join. I gotta fit in. I gotta represent, and most of you guys are from New York anyway, so we're good.
Just yeah, so I just found out that you're from Staten Island. Well, Staten Island.
No, I'm in Staten Island. Always.
Okay. Oh, you were born and raised over there.
Born and
raised. Yeah, let's go. New York is in the house once again. You already know.
Taking over. So now we got the Puerto Ricans and the New Yorkers.
Yeah.
That's true, though. That's true, wow. Man.
Boricuas.
Yeah, man.
I'm feeling some kind of way, man. I feel outnumbered. Like, let me have my wallet real quick. Yeah,
the parade got canceled, so it's here.
Wow.
Yo, for real. So what's been going on this week, man? Anything interesting happened? Anything y'all heard was on the news or anything like that?
I heard that that we celebrated our 1 year anniversary for COVID.
Anniversary.
Right.
Oh, that well you mean like the first case, right? Like was it like in China or something like that?
They didn't never like we didn't know that initially.
We didn't.
No,
we did though. We did. They've been talking about it for a minute.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, they've been saying, hey, November 17 was the first case of corona.
Right. They ain't say that.
No. They said it was possibly December, not November. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
In front, you see.
Well, China at first was saying that.
I made a mistake. Can I make a mistake, man?
They lying.
Oh,
China
yeah.
was saying that US had brought it. In the Olympics, right? Was it something like that? Or they had their troops bring it?
Yeah.
That old dude was in the Olympics?
Yeah, they had the military Olympics. That's right. I remember now. That was in November?
Yeah, that was November.
Like September, October, I thought.
Probably.
I'm on fact check right now.
So
y'all go ahead.
November 17th is a 1 year anniversary of
the first person that contracted.
Wow. Yeah. My wife's birthday falls on Corona anniversary.
Oh, that's right. It was your wife's birthday. Shout out to Mrs. P.
Yes. Happy birthday, man.
Yeah. So we can't say it.
He
was like, oh, I'm not going to say that.
I don't want to butcher it.
Yeah.
See, he talking about Mrs. P.
I'm going to try. Yes. What is it?
Huh?
Pumarejo.
Palmero.
There you go.
Palmero.
You buried right there.
Oh, you got it?
Pumarejo. I can't even. Wow. Yo,
I ain't even Boricua, and I know how
right,
to say
that's
it.
That's what I was saying. I can't even rely on the other Rican is Dominican. You know?
Your wife is Puerto Rican. What you mean?
Oh, but still.
True.
Wow.
Because I'm adopted. Stop. You saying I'm adopted.
Right.
I mean, I guess so.
Hey, yo, the military Olympics was October 18th to the 27th.
That's what I said. See, September, October.
So,
I was one of those
two. A month before.
Yeah,
it ain't come from them then, because this dude a whole month later.
Right.
That's true.
That's wild.
I know, right?
So how you feel on the anniversary of the 1 year anniversary of COVID, man? Cali's still locked down. We still got mask mandates, you know what I'm saying? But nothing's changed. The streets don't care.
Right. I mean, today they announced New York City schools are closing. I suspect lockdowns. We kind of have a mask mandate, but you know, it depends on who the person is.
It's only like when
whatever.
You go into a store, right? Like,
yeah.
Nobody's really enforcing it like on a regular.
We don't have a mask mandate, but Cuomo is saying that there can only be 10, they can only be 10 people in a gathering in someone's private residence.
Get out of here.
He can't have more than 10 people in his house. How many Cuomos is there, yo?
A lot. Right.
That'd be funny, right? Like, he'll probably have like 20 people in his crib.
He will.
Yo, is it mandatory wild. Is it mandatory to wear a mask on the train or the ferry?
Probably. I don't know. I haven't done anything.
These dudes are like, I'm rich. I got a car.
Yeah, I live in Staten Island. Car. You need a car in Staten Island because you got one train that runs up and down. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to catch any bus during COVID either.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Yeah. But yeah, that was
like
kind of
Staten Island though.
Huh? What's it
looking like? What's it looking like? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's the worst per proximity here because nobody here cares. Because Staten Island separates itself from the city.
They're the forgotten borough.
I'm not trying to get political, but we're the one part of New York that voted red. So people feel a certain way over here about like mask and rules.
That's true though, because everybody who like is, well, for the most part, everybody that I know that's like anti-mask, they're all red. No, they're not from Staten Island, but they're all red. It's all MAGAs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, they be protesting. They be having no mask protests.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing in Staten Island because it's predominantly Republican, a lot of conservative families. Everybody here is like some sort of city or state worker, whether they're a teacher, a cop, a firefighter, a nurse, you know, sanitation. That's like 85% of what Staten Island is. And it's mostly like Italian and Irish people here. So it's a totally different feel than, you know, when you think of the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, you know, whatever. We're just a totally different animal. We got trees. We got deer here. It's not like
wait, there's deer.
You got deer. They come from Jersey. They actually take the bridge or they swim. Yeah.
We got
trees, we have parks, we got wildlife. Like I have a backyard. it's not like,
yo, I got a backyard like too. What you mean?
You know, but some places don't. A lot of places in the city, whatnot. Yeah, so it's totally different. It's like basically New Jersey here.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. So how you
switch about- when he says a backyard, he doesn't mean like the fire escape.
Oh, okay.
Right. Just to be clear.
Wow, I'm good, man. I don't have those problems no more, man.
Wow.
The Lord done delivered me. But what y'all feel about this Cuomo stuff, man? Like 10 people, really? In your own residence? That's a little excessive.
Yeah, you see how he wanted the neighbors to snitch?
Word?
So what are they going to do? Like give a citation or like
they got a number? They got like a
I don't know.
Probably.
I mean, 311 still exists, but
you know I mean. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you got a Karen around, you know, you can be like, hey.
Oh, you know, and that's crazy because New York is very like multicultural, right? And Italians got big families, Puerto Ricans got big families, Colombians got big families. So how are you going to enforce that? You know what I'm saying? Irish got big families, like
especially for Thanksgiving, right?
That's what I'm saying, man.
People going to have Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving.
I got a wedding on Saturday, but that's in New Jersey, so so it's going to be, I guess it's on till it's canceled is pretty much how I'm looking at it.
Wow.
But if it was in New York, it definitely would have been canceled for sure. But even now, I'm like, yo, I hope. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of not like wanted to go. That's going to be the most people I'm in front of since March.
Wow.
Oh, so you kind of stayed in the whole time during the pandemic?
Yeah, yeah. I did the whole quarantine thing. You know, I would wait 2 weeks. I went and visited my grandmother. You know, I got tested, everything. You know, went and visited her after a while. You know, parents back and forth to see my kids. But that's really it. Like really immediate family. And we all know what we're doing. And
wow.
But like, as far as, you know, just a whole group of people, aside from like going to the supermarket, wherever else I'm going, which I'm wearing a mask.
Yeah.
A wedding is a totally different ballgame. Especially since I know a lot of the people there haven't been social distancing either.
Was that because of like health reasons, or you were just taking precautions?
No, we were taking precautions. I got two young kids. Yeah. I know COVID is not really hitting the kids too hard, but it's like we're two parents, so we can't be sick. We gotta take care of our kids. So
right.
You know, it's just trying to keep everybody healthy and together for sure.
Yeah. Nice. I could dig it. I'm just not feeling the Cuomo, like in somebody's residence, I think that's their choice, you know? And if somebody, let's say if they have asthma or they have, you know, underlying issues and they feel like, hey, I'm not going to be able to come out this year because, you know, that's cool. But to tell somebody what they can do in their own residence, you know, I get it if it's a concert, if you say, oh, we're not going to have large concerts, that's cool. But
your house?
Yeah, that's a little excessive. And I don't know how he's going to enforce that neither, because what are you going to do? Send
if
the
you want your neighbors probably, to snitch.
But it's probably like 10, more than 10 non-residents of your house.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't imagine like he'd be like, I don't know, you got like 10 people living there. You guys got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pick like and everybody. Choose.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
But he'll be like, who's in there?
How old are you? 18? Yeah, it's time you moved out.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Especially about. Now with Thanksgiving. And, you know, some people, they've been going through a lot mentally throughout this whole thing. You know what I mean? So the holidays is something that, you know, people come together and it's a joyful time for some people. It's a depressing time for some people as well. So I would imagine that people coming together for Thanksgiving, you know, they probably haven't like, you know, like you said, you're going to a wedding, like you haven't seen people in a while. It's probably like a joyful moment. Like, yeah, I get to see everyone. And now this mandate is like, well, you got 10 people over 10 people. It's, you know, it's going to be an issue. But I heard that like four sheriffs already were like, nah, we're not doing that. That's unconstitutional. That's sheriffs? Not American. Yeah. Sheriffs. Yeah. Sheriffs are the ones that like kind of reinforce that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They were like, mm-hmm. We're not doing that. They already spoke out and they were like, we're not doing that. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I'll be tight. Someone come tell me, yo, your people got to leave.
Be like, yo, I'm trying to eat my pateles, man. What's going on? I just go get my pateles.
You open the door with the coquito pateles. Like, man, what you want?
Yeah, no, nobody's going to be getting that though, because those are like Christmas traditions. Everyone's coming over. No one's getting those this year.
Right, right. That's corny. Unless you're the one making them.
Yeah. Then
you got
then
all
you
got the
pot monopoly. You got a monopoly in your kitchen.
So, and you don't have those problems in GA, right?
Are we good out here? You can do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want. My son got invited to a birthday party Saturday. And it was at like a, you know, one of them indoor trampoline spots.
Mm.
So, you know.
How you feeling about that?
You going?
Huh?
You going?
Nah, he went. Wait, already. He went.
Oh, they went.
Oh, yeah. Yes. How you felt about that?
I mean, it was straight. It wasn't a lot of people in there when I went. It was just, it seemed like it was just the party. It's almost as if they rented out the whole place. But, you know, he's straight. He's been good.
Yeah, I took my son a while back to one of those trampolines, like in the summer, and it was dead. It was like maybe three other kids.
Yeah.
That was when nobody was going out. No one was even going to the beach during the summer. It was like empty in some beaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Georgia different, man. You go out there, it looked like a regular day. It looked like February of this year before COVID hit.
It's wild to see an empty New York City. Like I had to take my son to a doctor's appointment in Manhattan, and from Staten Island to Manhattan, that trip could take like 2 hours, and then I wouldn't even be able to find parking. We did that thing in 35 minutes, and I found a spot right in front of the doctor. And I was like, what? There was nobody. This was back in like April. There was just nobody on the road. I was like, this is like The Walking Dead right now.
That's crazy. Did you take pictures, like video? Like, yo, look at this. Yeah.
No, like I was just trying to, like ingrain it. I was just like, yo, let me remember this, because I'll never see this again. This is wild.
I know.
35-minute trip to Manhattan.
Look like I Am Legend out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It usually takes me 35 minutes just to get over the bridge.
Wow. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I spoke about this on the earlier episodes, but I stayed around Times Square, and the amount of people that were there was very little, but then also a lot for what's been going on with COVID, you know? So, yeah, but yeah, man.
Instead of like 5,000 people per block, it was like 500, but that was still way too many.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I definitely miss is no traffic, no nothing. I mean, now you get some traffic, but it's crazy.
So did you guys hear about the FDA recently approved home test, Corona home test?
I saw that. But what's the difference between that one and the one that Costco sells? Like, that wasn't FDA approved?
Costco got one?
Yeah, Costco, they sell a kit.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. I never knew that. Yeah.
How much is that joint? Like $50 probably, right?
I think it was like $150.
$150
for a test. Yeah,
I want to say, yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. I don't know, bro. I don't want to find out either. The city gives it to you for free anyway. You go to a rapid test.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You pay $150, that joint say positive.
Automatically. Then you take it again and it says negative.
Yeah. Oh, that's what Elon was talking about. Yeah, that's what Elon was talking about. Elon Musk.
He did.
He was like, yes, I took three tests. I mean, what, like six tests, you know, three positive, three negatives. Like, what's going on here, you know?
And then he said it's people too, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's something up with these tests.
They make Dollar Tree pregnancy tests, so those will probably be next, Dollar Tree COVID tests. Right. If they're next to each other. If they're like 50-50 anyway, it can't be any worse than the
You
than
see the line
test.
For COVID? Oh, right. You got COVID.
Got to mess around, get the pregnancy test, and stick that in your nose.
They have the, they're going to start, well, they started with the whole vaccine stuff, right? Like in December, they're going to start.
Yeah, you said you was first, right?
Yeah. Come on, man. Cut that
out. You did. You was like, I can't wait to get this vaccine.
Here we go. The slander.
Well, we're not gonna be getting it in New York, apparently.
What?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Isn't that what Trump said?
That's what he said, yeah.
Yeah, because
Cuomo was like, nah.
Him and Cuomo are beefing.
Yeah, because he was saying not until New York requests it. So I guess because Cuomo's whole thing is I don't trust it. I don't know how trustworthy the FDA is, and I don't know how trustworthy these Corona vaccines are. I mean, and he's got a point because usually vaccines take years to develop.
Right.
But I know it's a little different because this is a COVID virus, right? Which we've, even though it's not COVID-19, but we had, what was it, SARS, was it? And MERS. So we've kind of had similar things. But some people don't trust it. They're like, I don't know. I'm not gonna get that vaccine.
I mean, I ain't mad at
7 months.
That's one thing from out of Cuomo's mouth that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I just checked on Costco's website. They have two versions, I guess. One for travel and one like a normal one. It's both saliva, and one is $139 and the other is $129. So $130 and $140.
So that's interesting.
Brands. Let me see what brand it is.
Because why they $10?
So that's interesting. We got to look into that and see why.
So one that comes with video.
They want to make sure you're spitting in there.
I guess, I don't know.
You got a nurse watching.
Yeah, we got to look into that because
it says FDA approval.
Yeah,
it's from Azova.
Oh, okay.
Azova, never heard of it.
Hey, yo, guys. Sorry to cut in. It says I'm the host now.
Oh, I don't know what Jimmy did.
You the host?
And I'm recording.
Oh.
I think that happens. And then
I figured you'd want to know that.
Yeah, I saw the message. We should be all right.
So you're the newest member of TNC now.
Well, yeah. Ooh, Justin.
Man, the easiest
Listen,
job
Chad.
I ever got.
Chad, we recruited Justin, man.
You get invited on, and it's like, well, you can't leave. You're in the middle of it, so you're in.
Yeah, that's it. Justin, you're in, yo.
Justin can't be like, hey, guys, I got to cut it short.
I got enough to do.
Nah, but that's what's up. Also, did you guys hear that what do you call it? Trump is pulling the troops from
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan and Iraq.
I mean, that's cool. It's not all the troops. I think it's only like what?
A few.
Yeah,
500 like probably.
2,500, 3,000 troops.
I mean, cool. They'd be happy.
Yeah, I guess that's okay.
I mean, he's been saying he was going to do that, right?
Yeah, he's been.
I mean, he wanted what? Pull everybody out? No. Bring all the troops home, but.
Yeah, but here's the thing: we haven't heard anything about anything that's going on there because everyone's been so distracted. So I bet you pull them out now, and then all of a sudden, there'll be some new headline. Oh, you know what's going on out in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever.
Oh,
it's like, but where's all this news been the last 4 years or three years or whatever it's been?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Yeah, that's a good observation.
So many things disappear for the next news cycle. Everything that like, remember we had Ebola, we had all these other life-threatening diseases, and then something else happened in the news and was like, oh yeah, remember Ebola? Yeah. Remember the Zika virus? Yeah. Remember all these
Zika, yeah.
That's how the media is, Oh, deadly virus by you. Deadly.
They finally got it right, though.
Deadly mosquitoes by you. When there's like one death and there's one mosquito or something, it's like, all right, like you guys are overhyping this. But that was interesting. Some people have mixed feelings about that because obviously
I think it's general. Trump's general was like, nah, we shouldn't do that. We should be sending more.
Yeah, and I guess because they think like other countries are gonna, I guess, infiltrate or get in there and then do what they got to do in there,
or the people that are being suppressed, or being looked after, are gonna get stronger now, because we left.
Yeah. Because we're like kind of policing that area, and then we leave. It's like, all right, rebels are back. They're taking over. They're doing their thing. But some people are like, "Yo, we should have been brought them back." Like, there's no reason for us to be out there.
We ain't NATO. Sitting there policing everybody.
We not, but we are.
Right. We get involved in everybody else's problems when we have like crisis is going on here, like major things here.
Yeah. But
we just have to have our presence known because America. We have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Power.
That's true.
Yep. Did you also see how military was tracking people's phones and their apps and stuff, the location? And then you wonder, Trump is like, oh, don't use TikTok, don't use like all these Chinese apps because they're tracking you. But then it's like, okay, the government could track you. That are your own citizens. That's cool.
Wasn't one of the apps like a Muslim app?
What?
Yeah. Muslim exactly. App, and they were, that was the one that they were tracking.
They were tracking and buying their information or getting their information. I don't know if they were buying, but they were getting information from them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But we knew that. We've been known that.
Yeah.
That's what's funny is like everything that would be, oh, that's a conspiracy theory about the laptops and how we get tracked and all that. Like, we've been known about that. It's just now it's just starting to become popular. It's starting to come out. And even then
people was like, I got nothing to hide.
Yeah. I'm kinda like that person.
Yeah, until you can't have 10 people in your house for Thanksgiving.
Until Cole was like, what you doing? I get a notification on my phone. I see more than 10 people.
Right. And they start hearing 11 voices through your phone. Whoa. All
right. Or someone knocking on the door.
Right.
We know you got more than 10 people in there.
Play around.
You're right. You're right about that. You know what I mean? It's all good until it ain't good no more.
They just slowly adding on here and there.
Just slowly entering your privacy, right?
Yep.
Actually, man, was it Eric Snowden?
Yeah. I mean, he was part of the reason why we found out about all that stuff.
You know, my wife has the Target app. and she does like pickup instead of going like inside the store. We go inside the store too, but just to make it quicker and easier, we'll do the pickup. And as soon as our, like, we'll say, oh, we're on our way. As soon as we like hit the parking lot, we get the notification that they know that we're in the parking lot.
Bro, right. What's crazy is I have the app. I have the app, right? And I won't even have it open. I'll walk in the store and it tells me it opens the Target app already.
Wow.
Your phone opens the app already?
It gave me a notification.
Yo, that's wild.
The notification pops up telling me the store I'm at and then like it's about to open it.
Oh, wow. See, I got all that stuff turned off. I don't want them knowing when I'm in the store, tracking me every aisle and all that stuff.
They know.
They know.
No, they don't. No, no.
They heard you. Dang. Just like when you talk about Tesla.
Look at Jimmy.
Just like when you talk about Tesla and all of a sudden it's on your IG feed.
I mean, that's okay. I'm okay with that one.
He's all right with that
one. Now it's going to be on all of our IG feeds.
Yeah. All right.
Just because one of you is talking about it.
Right.
That's good. Yes. Tesla.
Speak Tesla stock. But yeah, so the troops coming back. You said they tracking us. Well, whatever. We already knew. They've been talking about it since Enemy of the State.
That's everyday stuff, man.
Will Smith predicted this.
Well, y'all seem to be chill about it, though.
What? About
this? We knew this was coming. We knew this was happening.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it?
Ring.
Nada.
Comcast.
I mean, yeah, it's like, okay, you're going to stop using your phone? No, obviously not.
So what are you going to do? How do you prevent it?
You get a flip phone.
Get the next tail.
How you double tap on a flip phone, though?
We're going to do the chirps. We're going back to the chirps.
You don't.
You get burners. You get a couple burner phones.
The what?
Burner.
Get a couple burner phones.
Oh, yeah.
Got those two.
I guess. I'll get them satellite phones.
Yeah, man.
They're expensive, aren't they?
You could get on Amazon for like $300. I checked.
Oh, is that all?
Expensive. You're right.
Yeah, it's I checked. But I don't know how much the plans are.
Yeah, you heard this guy? That's how you know you got money when you say.
Right.
Yo,
it's not that expensive. It's $300.
For a satellite phone?
Hello?
You going to see Jay at Target with the phone, pulling out the antenna, making calls.
Ordering a pizza with a satellite phone?
Yeah.
Oh,
man. That Zach Morris phone.
Right.
That
joint got no GPS, no nothing.
Right.
Yeah, this dude got money, man. $300. $300. That's not a lot.
It's cheaper than an iPhone,
bro. Everything after $20 is a lot. All right, man.
Says the one that has a $700 phone right now.
Ooh.
Yeah. Talk to me.
You got a piggy bank. Yo, you got a piggy bank behind you though, so that's where all the money is.
Let me move my screen this way.
You figured
your man really got a piggy bank in the back.
Yo, leave my daughter's piggy bank alone, all right?
Mine's in
her college.
Hers is in my bedroom.
Nah, that's her slush fund. She could do whatever she wants with it.
What?
Her slush fund.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't got those.
We don't got those.
Oh, man. You guys are too much.
I'm thinking about, I got to get one for my son. College fund or whatever, one of those.
Oh, the 528 thing?
Yeah.
I think it's 528, something like that.
529?
Yeah, it's not that much, too. It's like,
well, you know, I mean, we've talked about this. I don't know what college is going to look like. You know, when our kids go to college.
Might have free college.
Maybe.
I mean,
define free.
Well, okay, here we go. Here goes Mr. Taxationist.
There he is.
Less money.
It's coming out.
You mean we're going to be paying for our own, we're going to be paying more money for free college.
All right.
Listen, we already got trillions and trillions in debt, so.
Might as well just.
We're about to be more with this new stimulus package if they push it through.
Are they gonna pass it? I need
what
some
you think?
Jordans. I need some new Jordans, man.
Oh my god!
I need more Tesla stock is what I need. So go ahead and send me that joint.
Yo, Jay, you just kidding, talking guys. About
spend my stimulus money on Jordans, all right?
For anybody working, for anybody working in the government office,
right? You don't want it reduced.
Like that other dude. Remember, he took his loan, his payment protection.
Oh, loan. The football player, right? For the Jets.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
Yeah.
Well, the other dude, you see, did you guys, yo, Justin, did you see that dude, the rapper who rapped about scamming the unemployment?
No.
Yeah, the dude did a rap video and everything, did a whole song about that. Scamming unemployment.
Did we talk about
a video for it?
No, yeah, we didn't talk about it.
No,
I feel like we talked about it.
Yeah, well, maybe in the chat, but nah, you know, for the listeners and the viewers.
Was it a good song?
Was it at least good?
That's all I want to know. Was it nice?
I mean, it went viral because of the story. You know what I'm saying?
They got locked up after.
Yeah, I think he's being investigated or something like that. Let me fact check myself.
Yeah, he got bars.
Literally,
he got the real bars.
Yeah, bars.
Wait, so how do you scam unemployment?
I think he had multiple cards. Yeah, I think he had multiple
aliases.
Right.
I gotta look into that.
I had two socials.
Yeah. Right. Hey, what were you saying before? You mentioned my name in this.
Oh, no, because you was talking about Amazon getting the phone, the satellite phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you might as well get your prescription drugs from there too, right?
Ooh, very good, very good. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty wild, huh?
I don't know.
This dude Bezos, man. He wants to get into everything.
Yo, your man's name was Nuke Bizzle.
Nuke Bizzle. Oh,
Bizzle. Wow. We could clickbait this Bizzle. You know, something unemployment.
Nuke Bizzle.
Run it on Rapzilla.
Yo, son, your man made $1.2 million.
What?
What?
For unemployment?
Yes.
How many cards he had?
Which state was this?
Cali.
Oh, okay.
Yo, what's the max?
Unemployment's like $420 a month on the max. So how many?
A week.
But even still, like, how many cards you need?
A million.
But was
Let's
this
do the math? Let's do
was
the
this
math.
During COVID or this was prior to COVID?
I don't. I didn't get the chance to read
that. They were doing the federal, the extra.
Oh, yeah, because you might have got the federal too.
But still,
all right. So how much was that? The federal.
Yo, that was like 300. Altogether, it was like 9,900 a week, nine and change. Well, in New York,
maybe he had like 10 cards,
and then the 600.
So let's just say it's 1,000, bro. Let's just say he made 52,000, bro. Like, how many cards do you need?
Wow, that's a lot of cards.
It's a lot. 19.
I hope
19
clicks,
cards.
Hope the clicks 20 are cards. Worth it.
Nah, I don't. Not if he's facing federal time.
the viral clicks. Wonder how much money he made off of it going viral.
He gonna get rise. He gonna get a year for every card.
Oh, he probably making that money back on YouTube streams, right?
He made
Spotify
a million.
Streams.
Made a million and went viral. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He'll probably get a show or something when he comes out.
Right. True.
He'll be watching himself behind bars, though.
That's wild.
He'll probably, you know what? He's probably gonna record an album behind bars. Like, somebody did that.
Who did that?
C-Murder. She murdered it. Somebody else did that. Yeah, somebody else did that too.
Over the phone?
Yeah, over the phone. I think Wayne did too. I think
Wayne did a couple verses.
He did some verses, yeah. I think he did one with Murder Inc. or something like that. I think Shine did that too one time.
Mm.
Wow.
Over the phone.
Man, can you imagine if this dude like does a whole album and blows up after, has a reality show and everything else?
That's wild.
That's pretty.
Anyway, back to your conversation, Amazon. Pharmaceuticals and all that good stuff.
Jay That's Bond, nuts. Viagra.
Listen, I'm
yo,
the
you
youngest.
Foul, son.
I'm the youngest one out of all of us. Maybe I don't know what Justin's age. So you better watch your mouth, man.
That's true. My
watch
bad.
Your mouth, beloved.
And he just had two babies, so.
That's true. Mm-hmm. He's working.
He ain't got no problems there.
Yeah.
My bad. Switch.
What?
But nah, no, but so they taking over. They really trying to.
Yeah, I mean, he even said that it might be cheaper than insurance. You know.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if that's like private insurance or like, you know, city insurance.
Well, they're saying if you don't have insurance, they're gonna make it cheaper for
that's
those individuals, right?
That's crazy.
Amazon taking over everything.
They already own everything.
Yeah, cornering the market.
For real. That's nuts, man.
That's nuts. He getting his hand into everything.
I heard they own Rapzilla now, too.
Yo, they can have it.
They selling it, right?
I love that budget. You give us that Amazon budget, you'll never see me again. We'll hire mad people.
Yo, what happened to Justin? Where is he at?
I'll just be sitting at home telling people what to do.
They'll forever be quarantined.
Right. Never leave the house.
Just be hanging out somewhere nice, and we'll just be paying people to do work with that Amazon budget.
For real. So
budget.
So with that, how did you get started like in Rapzilla?
Well, how did you get started in media in general before Rapzilla?
Yeah.
So in journalism, So I went to college of Staten Island. I didn't go to a fancy college. I stayed home in my community and I got my journalism degree, and I was super fortunate enough that I only spent one summer teaching summer camp and delivering pizzas before I actually got an adult job. So
let's go.
So it was dope. Someone from my church worked for, you guys ever heard of the Christian Post?
Yes. I've been trying to reach them.
Really?
Trying to reach it. Yo, Christian Post, hit me up. I emailed you.
Christian Post, they're like,
try to get the features.
Well, you got to connect right now, man.
At least, nah, not with me no more. Not after I finish the story.
Oh, man. They're not going to email me back.
Yeah, I don't know if they still are, but at the time, it's the biggest Christian publication in the world. They were getting like 12 to 14 million page views a month.
Were those ones that were giving out the newspapers to all the churches?
No. Online. Oh. Online.
Oh, it's all online. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of my friends from my church, actually, he wasn't even my friend yet. He just went to my church. He's like, hey, you do journalism? He's like, I got a job at the Christian Post in Manhattan. They're hiring. And I went and I got the job. I didn't think I did, but I did. And I wound up doing that for about 2 years, and then they advanced me over to another website once I figured out.
You were writing?
I was writing, reporting. Then they moved me to this website where it was like beta testing videos. They basically created their own Christian version of YouTube, it's whack. But they had me uploading, Christian videos off of YouTube onto their YouTube platform.
Oh, so you were ripping the videos and then re-uploading.
That's all. They had me doing that for like a year and a half. And I was like,
does the site still exist?
Yeah, but I don't know what they do with this. It was called Good News Line, but,
never heard of it.
Neither have I since I left there. And, but I was, you know, I was studied to be a journalist, and they just have me like uploading videos to a website for like a year and a half, and I'm like, yo, this is driving me crazy. I started doing interviews and stuff on the side. I actually ran a magazine, like an actual print magazine, called Broken Records Magazine, that was started on Staten Island, and it covered all genres of music, you know, rock, pop, very little hip-hop. But I was running that whole thing with this other guy, and basically how he got the magazine, how he would get coverage to like major festivals, like, you know, your work tours, like he would get into the Garden and he would show up with a laminate that said Broken Records Magazine. They'd be like, yeah, I'm here to do, you know, photography for, you know, whoever, like Carrie Underwood or like people like that. And like, oh, your name's not on a list. And he'd pull out the magazine. Oh, you never heard of Broken Records Magazine? He would like flip through the magazine and show him all his pictures. And they're like, oh, it must be a mistake or whatever.
Go in.
And they would let him in. And he was like, I'm just the dude. So he started getting into all these places and doing photography for like major artists, like Kelly Clarkson, like big rock bands and everything. But he was just a photographer who started this magazine. So he brought me in. I was like, it must have been like 20 or 21. So that's really how I started journalism. I had been a musician. I'd always been in bands, playing drums or doing vocals, rapping, doing whatever. So I was like, yeah, music journalism, that's, you know, it's right up my alley, writing and doing all that. So I kept doing that magazine on the side when I was uploading all these videos like a mindless, you know, like like monkey. I started getting like really cool interviews, and I wound up getting like a really dope, huge interview for the Christian Post. I was like, I know I'm not a reporter here right now, but I can get you. You know who Scott Stapp is, the singer of the band Creed? Yeah. The band Creed, the lead singer of the band.
I know who Creed is.
A big artist. Right. And he was coming to Staten Island. And I was like, I can get him into the Christian Post. He's a Christian, or he was, I don't know. He had just written a book. So I got him to come there. And I did this interview with him on camera and everything. And again, wow. I'm just a dude who was like, they had me writing uploading trending videos. Stories. Like prior to that, I was writing about like Justin Bieber and Jeremy Lin, like Christian entertainers. Mm-hmm. And then they moved me to that video thing. And then I got this website and then I started writing. Then they brought me back to writing and they're like, yeah, you don't get a lot of hits. So we're going to, you know, if you don't get like 30,000 hits a week, we're going to have to let you go.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had to figure out how to get clicks. And that same friend who got me the job threw me a lifeline. And he was like, yo, I write about video games sometimes and those get a ton of hits. And at the time, Xbox One and PS4 were coming out. And there was like a new Pokemon game and a new Smash Brothers, all that stuff. So I started writing about that. And my hits were piling up and I was getting like over 1 million views a month on my articles.
Wow.
So then they were just like, yo, like, you know what you're doing. Now we're just going to give you this website. It's called breathecast.com. We just bought it. We want it to be like our MTV, like our Christian music hub of the Christian Post. We're going to make you the assistant editor and you're going to run that whole shit. So that was like my dream job. I got that job as assistant editor of Breathecast. I had everybody come in to the New York office. You know, we had the Lecrae in there, KB. We had like your Cary Jobes, TD Jakes, like all of these huge people within Christian media, you know, all genres.
And you were interviewing them.
I was interviewing them either on the phone. We had another girl. You guys remember the singer Jeannie Ortega? She had a song Crowded with Papoose.
Yeah.
So she's a Christian. She got a job at the Christian Post too. And her and I were editors of this website. We ran the shit. But she was more of the on air face. And I did more of the phone stuff, a lot of the writing and you know, the production behind the scenes. So we did all that stuff and I did that, you know, did the Dove Awards, did all that for like a year and a half. And then we came in one day and the writing was kind of on the wall. They were like, yeah, we're going to shut down the New York office. And, you know, all like 50 or 40 something people that were there, they laid everybody off.
Oh, wow.
They had another office in DC and they just relocated, you know, everything to DC and everyone in New York, except for like 3 or 4 people were let go. I thought I was going to be the one that they didn't let go. Cause I was like, man, I've killed it here. Everything that I've done. And, you know, I was always in meetings with the upper management. So like, I thought I was upper management. I was like, yo, I'm good. And they're like, yeah, you're out too. And I was like, dang.
Wow.
So it was just like, okay, well now what do I do? It's the only, you know, I was fortunate, like right out of college, I got a journalism job and this market is tough. And it was a journalism job in a field I knew, you know, Christian music. So I was like, I couldn't have gotten in like a more perfect, you know, spot than that.
Right.
So now like, this is the first time I was going to be like unemployed where it's like, you know, like a job outside of college, not like, well, I guess I could just go back to delivering, you know, pizzas or doing what I was doing. Like, I was like, I needed to do more than that. You know, I was married. We have a house, you know, I didn't have kids yet, but it was just like, yeah, I need to find a job.
You should have met with that other dude that got $1 million from unemployment.
New business, right.
Yeah. I'd be right next to him right now. So that's when I had previously met Chad from Rapzilla. I wasn't friends with him or anything, but I had met him. He had come to the office actually. With you guys know who Tim Trudeau is or Trudeau from Syntax, Syntax Records.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. 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 From Syntax, yeah.
From Syntax. So him and Chad worked together at Syntax for years and Chad was doing Rapzilla too. So they had come and I had met both of them. And when I was unemployed, I was like, well, let's try this freelancing thing. So I hit up Rapzilla, and it was Chad and Phil Rude was still there at the time. And I was like, yo, do you guys, you know, have paid freelancers? And they were like, nah. I was like, okay. And then that was it. Like, that was the whole email. It was like, nah. But then they sent a follow-up, and they're like, well, we know who you are. So like, shoot us an offer. So I really lowballed myself. Like, it was like, yeah I work for like $10 an article or something like that. So I was like, I just want to get my foot in the door or something. And I was like, they can't say no to $10 an article. And they didn't. And then I suckered myself out for the first little while. But yeah. And then Tim actually hooked me up with some freelancing gigs at CCM Magazine.
Okay.
So I found
emailed you guys too.
Yeah. Well, they eventually let me go too. But don't go where I've been. Is that that's the lesson, I guess. Yeah, like they restructured and everything. I almost had a job with them, and then they were like, we wanted to, but nobody has a job now. And I was like, okay. So I did well with Rapzilla, and then eventually I was like, yo, do you guys like need someone to be on the team? Like, I literally have nothing going on. I need money. I will be here every day. And by here, my house. You know, I can just show up. I wake up and I'm ready to go. So that's how I got involved with Rapzilla. And it was like, I did like 20 hours a week for about 6 months. And then it was 30 hours. And then it was 35. And then eventually it was like, hey man, like you're doing everything. You're the editor. You're in charge of this thing. And I was like, yeah, I am. Like everywhere I've gone, you know, from Broken Records Magazine to Christian Post, like I worked my way up to be the guy.
That's really dope. That says a lot about your work ethic.
Yeah, man, thank you. Thank you. Like my thing is like, you know, I am a slow starter, like admittedly, but I was like, yo, but once I get it, yo, everybody watch out. Cause I get obsessive. Like I was like, yo, I'm pounding out articles. I'm interviewing people. I have to strive for that excellence.
So and what else is encouraging is like, you didn't give up with the, you know, after being let go of twice, right. In journalism, you didn't just like say, I'm gonna just stop doing this. Maybe this isn't for me. You just kept going, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's wild because say I graduated with maybe like 60 to 70 people that were, you know, took journalism with me. It's like me and maybe one or two others that are still actually doing journalism.
Wow.
And that have actually, and out of like those 60 or 70, maybe 10 actually even made it to get a journalism job. Mm. So I'm, you know, you keep tabs on people, especially when you're that small of a group, you know, your friends on, you know, LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever. And she's like, yo, none of these people are writing, or half of them aren't even in communications, like of any kind, like marketing, social media, nothing. And it's tough out there because technically anybody can do what I'm doing. Whether you do it as well as me is a different story, but like anybody can do it. Anybody can break news at any point. You pull out your phone like this 10-year-old kid. It could be a fire in a neighborhood. Kid pulls it out. He goes live on Instagram. He just broke the story of there's a fire in your neighborhood. That kid gets, you know, 100,000 views. And they're like, oh, who's the journalist who broke that story? Oh, little Timmy, the neighbor. Yeah, so like anybody could do this. Anyone can have a blog. Anybody can record videos from their house, have a podcast, you know, do whatever. So it's super competitive.
Right.
So it's just like, how do you make, just like rappers, technically anyone can rap, anyone can make beats in their house now, anyone can record themselves. So it's trying to like rise above, you know, what makes you stand out from everyone else. So that's what I've always, that's like the work ethic I've tried to have. Like, I know you can do this, but can you do it as well as me?
Right.
So let me, so in that way, I'm kind of like a rapper. Like a rapper wants to eat everybody on the beat. I want to destroy everybody. Me, like I want to kill everyone with an amazing story. You know, I want to write if I'm interviewing you, I want you to feel like this is the best story that's ever been written about you in your entire life.
Right.
And that's kind of how I approach everything.
Mm. Now, how long have you been on Rapzilla for?
So I got laid off October 2015. So it's actually, and started writing with Rapzilla. I think my first article was like late November around Thanksgiving. So it's been about 5 years.
Wow. Congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
And it's crazy because, like you're saying, there are about 60, 70 people that you might have graduated with or mm-hmm. received that journalism degree. But they all can do it because they're all in a bigger space, right? Like, it's even more competitive for you because right now you're talking in the Christian world where that gets a little bit smaller as opposed to...
Ain't too many jobs, well, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, it's yes and no. It's not competitive in the sense that I'm concerned that other people are going to come, like, no, like I'm no, competing no. against other people because there's not that many
right.
that are like specifically, you know, can do like that. But at the same space. Time, it's smallness, right? So like, oh, Rapzilla is like the Complex of Christian media. No, we're not. Right. Do you know how big Complex is? Do you know how small Rapzilla is? There's three of us on Rapzilla that are full-time dedicated. And one of them is Chad, and he's the owner. And, you right. know, he's got a day job. So like, so as far as a day job, there's two people at Rapzilla. There's me and Steven Solis. And we are the only mm-hmm. ones who run all of Rapzilla. We get, you know, almost 500 submissions a week. We got the ads. We got the wow. playlist. We got all the interviews. And Steven doesn't write. Steven does all the back end stuff. So then all that other posting and going through the submissions and all that stuff, that falls on me. And then we're blessed with a couple of contributors, freelancers that help us out like here and there, or at least we have ideas to throw back and forth. Like they're another set of eyes because I can't see right. everything. And, you know, unfortunately not in the position to pay them right now, but I was like, yo, I will do anything for you guys. You, and most of them are younger, like in college. So it's like, you need that letter of recommendation. You need me to edit your paper. You know, for
that's a really final, dope though. That's really dope final, though. That's dope.
You know, you need yeah. help finding another job. You know, you need advice on college or journalism. Anybody you want an interview, any album, early sneak peek you want, like I got you. You guys are helping me out, so I owe you whatever you need. So that's basically how we're operating right now, and the hope is to grow so we can get like a Complex,
right? And I think that's really cool that you offer that to people. You know what I mean? Because it also, like, a lot of people would be like, we don't have any money to hire anybody, so we can't get the work done. End of story. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where you find a solution and, you know, you kind of leverage what you have and you bring value to them, you know, by offering all of those incentives. That's really dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Because I know if I've been in that position, you know, I've been on the other side. That magazine that I ran for 4 years, ran it like a full-time job. I never made a cent off of that magazine. And I did that for right. 4 years. I edited every article. You know, I helped do the layout of the magazine, printing. I was at festivals. We never, me and the owner, we never made a dollar. We did it because we loved it. We did it because there was experience to be gained. Like without that experience of doing that, I would be nowhere now. Mm. Like I learned how to interview artists. I right. learned how to hustle. I learned how to, I wouldn't say lie, but like give off like the persona of like, yo, like we're a legit magazine, even though like we weren't, but I right, was able right. to have, you know, that confidence. Like I can interview anybody.
Speaking by faith, email. Right?
Right. It was just like, yo, like we literally got no budget, but like we're standing in a room with somebody who, you know, sold over 1 million albums. I got to be on Chris Jericho's tour bus. Chris wow. Jericho.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho is in a band called Fozzy, and we interviewed his band Fozzy. We didn't get him. Someone else was interviewing him. We got his guitar player. But Jericho was across the and I said,
you're breathing the same
hall.
Air.
Yeah. It's a tour bus. This is a tour bus that had hallways and wow. bedrooms. That's how wow. big this tour bus was. So wow. he was like on the other side, and we were sitting at the kitchen table interviewing someone. And I'm holding a camera, and the other guy's talking to him, and I'm just like, yo, like, what is this? I was like, this, I'm Chris Jericho's like 15 feet away from me right now. Why am I even here? So it's like, right. so like, I totally get it. Like, you know, I've been blessed and fortunate to have opportunities thrown my way. And because of like the small spaces that I've been in, I've actually been able to elevate myself quicker. Like mm-hmm. I ran a whole magazine because there was literally nobody else to do it. Mm-hmm. Was I qualified for it? Probably not. But I got to do it and I became qualified. When I got to the Christian Post, it was just like a bunch of, you know, it was, I'm going to try to speak nicely about them. It was very chaotic management style. And because of a lot of the dysfunction that was there, I was able to elevate myself quicker because I was like, well, I just have to be better than the dysfunctional thing next to me. And I was able to keep going. And then the same thing with Rapzilla. Yo, there's no one else to do it. All right, I'll do it. And I was able to get that experience that normally they're like, yo, if you want to be an editor of a website, you need like 15 years editor experience.
Wow.
And then when you get there, you're like, well, how do you get that editor experience if you need the 15 years of editorial experience? I don't know. You figure it out. So I got it. I was able to do it.
So you figured it out.
I figured it out.
You fast tracked it. You were like, I'm going to do this.
Right. So yeah, it's been a really dope journey. Super blessed. Love what I do. You know, I just get to talk to people and tell stories of, you know, people's lives for a living.
So now during this journey, when was it that you met the Lord, or like, was your family always in church? Did you graduate? And then, you know, like, what was that transition? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's way back. So I grew up in the church. My uncle actually had a Spanish speaking church in Queens in the early 90s. I don't remember what the church was, but he was 19 years old and he was the lead pastor of this church that he founded. Wow. And, you know, 19. big Puerto Rican family, you know, there's like 500 of us, whatever, cousins, uncles, whatever.
Iglesia La Gracia.
Yeah. So my whole family was in that church. So my uncle got everybody saved, you know, my grandparents, my mom, my aunts, you know, everybody. So from the time I was like, I was, you know, 2-3 years old, I'd been in the church. Now, a definitive moment that I remember is, you guys know who Carmen is, right?
Yeah.
The old school,
singer,
90s rapper, boxer, spoken word rapper.
Right.
That was a memorable interview for him. We could talk about that later, but yeah, he used to have his huge like crusade concerts, and we had one on VHS at my house. I was like 5 years old. I remember we popped it into the VCR player, and I was watching it, and he did an altar call at the end. And like I said, the altar call, like I went with Carmen at the end of that video. And that's the first like conscious, like, actual memory of like, okay, like I'm a Christian now, or whatever. Right. It was. So that was when I was 5 years old. And then just growing up through the church, you know, growing up around Christian music, my parents owned a Christian bookstore too, from like 98 to 2003, maybe 2004. Mm-hmm. So like I always had the latest music.
Where was that at?
Staten Island. They had one. Wow. Yeah. So yeah, I always had the music. I always had the
latest. Yo, that's book. Wild how like that was the only way you can get to like Christian hip hop, was like whatever the Bible bookstore had. And like for me, I remember it was like in 99, I just happened to be in the Bible bookstore picking up a Bible, right? I wanted a Bible, and they had this like the CD player where you could listen to music before you buy it. And there was a magazine there. It was like 8-Ball or something like that. Do y'all remember that? I think it was called 8-Ball or something like that. And it had a CD mixer, like a sampler CD. And I just copped it because, you know, I listened to it. There was a couple of rap songs in there that I liked. Cross Movement was one of them. But it's just wild now how it's so easy to discover Christian hip hop music, you know, versus back then. Like if you wasn't in the Bible bookstore, you weren't, you know what I'm saying? Like,
if you ain't see them perform, you wouldn't.
Right.
You get your hands on
them. Yeah, and they might have not even have been allowed at your church at that point, too.
True, that part, too.
Right. Facts. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because hip-hop wasn't allowed. Even as I remember interviewing Tadashi, and he told me even back in 2006, he'd be going to a church, and they told him, like, yo, you can't do that in here. You got to go to the backyard, or, like, the youth center. Wow. This is 2006. You know, I know it's not like that anymore, but you know, the church and Christian music are always like, you know, 15-20 years behind. Like first rock and roll was the devil's music.
Right.
And then you had a couple of people come out and like, oh, this isn't so bad. All right. Hip hop's definitely from the devil now. That's the new thing that's from the devil. And then you grow out of that. But yeah, And the funny thing is, like, I wasn't even into like really Christian hip hop like that either. Like, I listened to DC Talk when I was growing up, which, right. you know, people got their feelings about that, whether that was real hip hop or not, but that was like the only hip hop I knew. And right. then when in the early 2000s, I got really into like youth group type rap. So your KJ52s, your John Rubens, I was listening to some T-Bone back then. But then I started playing music. I started playing drums. I was in a bunch of bands. So I was like listening to all rock music. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some secular hip hop, you know, Eminem, G-Unit, 50 Cent, all of them started popping off in the mid 2000s. So like, that's what I was listening to. I had no idea anything about Christian rap until I started with that company Briefcast. And then they're like, oh, we got this guy, Lecrae. Lecrae had just dropped Anomaly. And they're like,
wow, that was pretty recent.
Yeah, yeah. So they're like, we got this guy named Lecrae. He just dropped Anomaly. He's one of the biggest Christian rappers. I had no idea who Lecrae was. I didn't know anything about the whole Reach Records Unashamed movement that like swept CHH. I knew nothing, nothing about that. Like, other than, you know, T-Bone, KJ52, John Rubin, like those Ill, Mars Ill, maybe. And I'm just like, all right, cool. Have him come in. This should be dope. And then, you know, we had KB in and we had Triple E and Tadashi was there. But that was it. It was just like the Reach guys.
Yeah.
So like, it was none of, you know, his CHH was huge. CHH was huge. Even Derek Minor came in one time. I think he might have still been pro. And it's funny because I told him, because, you know, I talked to Derek a bit, you know, we're pretty cool. And I'm like, bro, you came into my job and I had no idea who you were. Like, I didn't even go and be part of your interview. Like, I shook your hand and then I went and sat down and got back to work. I was like, yo, who is this guy? I have no idea who this guy is. And I was like, I'm sorry. But now we do excellent interviews and stories together. So we made up for it.
Right.
Nice.
So what was your most memorable interview that you would think that you had?
Man, the most memorable ones are the really bad ones. I don't want to out people though.
Right.
Because it's some people that you're like, that guy?
Did I see you interview POD?
I've interviewed
Or am I POD, tripping?
Sonny from POD. I've interviewed him three times. And I'm actually interviewing him tomorrow, actually.
Wow,
look at that.
An exclusive, guys. You hear that?
Yeah, there's your exclusive. Fourth time for the rapper Thomas Iannucci. He's got Sonny on his new album that's dropping.
Wow.
So I'm gonna interview them together.
Nice.
I mean, that was a memorable interview for me because I was a huge POD fan.
Right. You were like backstage at the Warped Tour, right?
That wasn't Warped Tour. That was, I think that was might have been called Scream It Like You Mean It.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I just remember seeing it and there was like loud music. Yeah.
That was the last time I interviewed him, actually. Wow. What's really funny about that was here's a little secret. So the band Papa Roach was supposed to headline that tour. But they canceled day of because the singer's voice gave out and he needed surgery.
Wow.
Well, it turns out the guitar player of Papa Roach is Chad's brother.
Wow. What?
Chad's brother, Jerry Horton, is the guitar player of Papa Roach. That's Chad's brother.
Wow.
So I've come a lot of full circle. And we were supposed to interview Papa Roach that day, but they weren't there because they canceled on the tour.
Wow, so, look at that.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. But Sonny was definitely memorable. Scott Stapp from Creed was memorable. I spent like 2 days with him. Toby Mac, just because I was such a huge Toby Mac fan, DC Talk fan. The first time I interviewed him, I was with Christian Post, and I was okay. Like, I was really nervous. You know, I'm not where I am now. As far as I was still like really like fanboying people back then when it was like I was so nervous, and it was just on the phone, but I got him to do to talk exclusively about old school CHH for Rapzilla. like his album Elements had just come out, and I was like, I do not care one single thing about Elements. Because he's going to talk, because that's how I think when I do an interview. Like, if you're promoting an album, you're going to go on this press tour, and all you're going to do is talk about this album. You can get those answers anywhere.
Right.
I don't care about this album. I want to know about Toby Mac that was rapping in 1989, you know, 1990, what the Dove Awards were like back then when there was like no such thing as hip hop. What it was like rapping with Stephen Wiley, who like basically invented CHH, D-Boy Rodriguez, who was, you know, the rapper who was murdered,
killed
in the street. Like I was asking Toby about that. I was like, what are those early conversations with Stephen Wiley? Like, what do you remember about D-Boy Rodriguez? You know, tell me the story of how DC Talk was allowed to become a rap group. And essentially that
didn't they get awards for that? Right.
Yeah, they won a lot of awards, but so Toby was like, yo, I haven't said some of these stories in 30 years. And when he said that, I was like, this is the one. This is going to be crazy because I'm going to be able to tell a story that nobody knows or that nobody's heard in like 30 years. And him telling me the story about how DC Talk was acceptable in churches because he was white and rapping and the black guy was the one who sang.
Wow.
Had it been reversed, they would have been able to get accepted. And they used to con people into allowing rap at the church. And like Michael Tate, the singer, you know, he's the black one in the group. He's now the singer of Newsboys.
Yeah.
He would go out and sing like he was in the choir. And Toby Mac was his sound guy. And he'd be like, so Michael would be singing, he'd be performing at Liberty University at like their convocation meetings, or, you know, their chapel or whatever. He'd be like, hey, I'd like to invite my friend up to do a little something with me. I think you guys might like it. It might be cool. Like they played it like real low key.
Yeah.
And Toby would come up and you're expecting to see like this white kid with long blonde hair at the time. He's not going to rap. They just thought he was going to sing with Michael. And then all of a sudden and you know, they start beatboxing and then he's rapping and they're like, oh, this is cool. Like, we'll allow this. This is all right.
Right.
And that's basically how DC Talk started conning their way into playing in churches.
Wow.
And how hip hop became accepted as like a Christian medium of music. And like hearing that story from Toby Mac was just like, yo, like that was one of my most memorable times ever.
Wow.
And then speaking to Carmen, and then telling Carmen the story, I was like, yo, I got saved listening to your VHS tape, and him not even responding and it just being radio silence.
It's pretty awkward.
Yeah, it was a really weird, I'll say it because no offense, Carmen's not listening to this. Carmen was one of my worst interviews ever of all time.
Editor, just make a star on this part, please.
Yeah, if Carmen's listening, like you guys are doing pretty well. But like, you know,
we're gonna send it to him. Damn.
It was such a weird interview. Like he had just beaten cancer, you know. Mm-hmm. I was talking to him about this album that he had coming out, and I'm like, you know, we're talking about all this stuff and he's not giving me like anything good. And it's just like, yo, like,
was it dry?
What's it like? You know, you just beat cancer. Like, what's it like? You just beat cancer and you know, you're dropping this album. Like, how does it feel or whatever? And he's like, you know, I feel good. It was like, that was it. It was like, question one, done. And I'm like, oh no. I knew right from the jump. I was like, yo, it's going to be bad.
Right.
And this is like a legend. And I was like, this can't happen. Like,
He's not media trained.
How am I going to fill up another 40 minutes of like an interview slot that I got with him? If he's answer, I have like 12 questions. He just answer one of them in 10 seconds. But see, so oddly enough, it was when I started talking about his role in hip hop of Christian rap. He started lighting up. I was like, why do you think you were allowed? You know, you were successful back then. He's like, you know, because I was really genuine with it. And, you know, and I was like, yo, people listen, I'm not trying to hear Carmen do raps now. They probably weren't trying to hear it back then either. But like me as like a 7-year-old, I was like, this is dope. Right. But like he went off on that. He gave me like a solid like 20 minutes on that. And then at the end, I was like, yeah, man, I want to tell you part of my testimony. It was like, you know, I popped in your VHS and, you know, I got saved to the altar call. And it was just like,
You just shut down again.
Nothing. And I was like, all right, yeah. So anyway, thanks. Thanks for the interview. He was like, all right, bye. I was like, dang. I was like, all right, man. Well, got that out of the way.
That was tough. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow. So what's awkward?
Good.
I was going to ask, you know, going back just a little bit when it comes to schooling and stuff, did you always want to like niche down into like the Christian world, or did you want to be like a newscaster on like, you know, ABC or CBS or anything like that when it comes
to church? It's funny. I mean, because like I've always loved music my whole life, always. And then being in bands and stuff, I was like, let's let one hand wash the other. The real goal was, if I become a music journalist, I can help my music career by putting me to these places that will help get me seen. That never happened because, you know, we all know how hard it is to make it in music. But also, you know, it's just conflicts of interest and different stuff like that. But even at the same time, like it just, you know, it wasn't in the cards for what I was doing. But that was like the whole focus. I was like, I'm going to become a music journalist so I can become a famous musician. And then it's like, I have this job I could fall back on. And at least it's writing about music, because I've always loved writing, you know, enjoyed writing. I never really saw anything else that I wanted to do aside from write. That was actually obtainable, that I felt like I could do. So I did actually work for the Staten Island newspaper as an intern for like 6 months, actually doing like everyday news, like knocking on people's doors, asking for quotes and stories and stuff.
Wow. When I was
like 19 years old, you know, writing about certain neighborhoods in Staten Island, going to, I don't think I ever did a crime scene, but like going to places after like something happened and getting reactions from people. And it was print, actual print newspaper journalism. So like, wow. I've actually been able to experience, again, this goes back to like the blessings of like that I've had. I've been able to experience print newspaper, print magazine, and then now like blogging and
digital,
you know, the digital space. You know, I've been able to do podcasting and videos and everything.
That's interesting, right? About you working at a news firm, right? What are your thoughts when like, because since you experienced that firsthand, and then now there's all this fake news, fake media, stuff like that.
A lot of bias.
What is your perspective on that? Is it true, or is it just exaggerated, or is it possible? Like, what are your thoughts
on the whole fake news angle?
Yeah,
just news in general. Just how it is.
See, well, I'm always happy. It's like, yo, like I'm not really part of the fake news thing because I'm doing entertainment, and then like, and now especially doing Christian entertainment. So actually, to just answer Jay's question, like, no, I wasn't necessarily trying to be a Christian music journalist, because that Broken Records wasn't a Christian magazine. But it just so happened that was my first job that I got offered. And, you know, you become an expert in a space, right? So I've just moved to a different asset of Christian music, which was the one I knew least about, ironically, went to Rapzilla. But so as far as the fake news thing, you know, it's such a hard time for media now because, you know, everyone's like clickbait, clickbait, clickbait. But like, yo, nobody reads anything. They read your headlines and they react. They never even click on the story. Switch. They never even click on the story. They just react on the headline. So like you have to come up with sometimes, I don't like to do it, but you have to come up with misleading headlines because like, dang, like we need the click or we're not getting paid. Like ESPN, ESPN, I think just laid off 2,000 people.
Yeah.
When I was working at the Staten Island newspaper in 2010, I would walk in sometimes on a Monday, and the office space could probably fit maybe 60 people. And there was maybe like 20 people there, 25 people. And 10 of them were interns, unpaid interns, with me being one of them. Now this is 10 years later. So I could only imagine what that space looks like now. There's probably like 10 people there.
Right.
So it's hard out there. I think that most news isn't fake. I think that most news has elements of truth in it, or most of the truth in it. But you get what skews the news is people's leanings. So whether you're liberal or conservative, you have this leaning, this inclination towards one side, right. And that kind of skews it. So it might not necessarily be fake, but it's going to be real for at least one of the sides.
Yeah, that has a bias
that subscribes to that. I always say, like, if both sides of the fence hate you, then you're doing a great job, because then that means you're right down the middle, right? The liberals hate me. The conservatives hate me. That means I'm telling the truth. That means my story is so good, because someone is not coming at you, you know, in support from one side. And I think when you just, there is a ton of fake news, but like, I wouldn't consider that real news. That's like things you share on Facebook, right? Or things that get shared on Twitter. They're basically like memes. Like memes with an article underneath it that anyone comes up with, and everyone's like, oh, this is fake news. I'm like, no. This isn't like the Wall Street Journal. This isn't the New York Times.
Right.
It's like some dude's blog who gave their opinion and you believed it and were led astray. And now, you know, you're reading fake news.
That's good stuff.
So yeah, I think that the truth always lies somewhere in the middle between both sides, but people play it, either sides play it up for, you know, for their prospective audience. It's really hard. It's really hard to not hold a bias on something.
Right.
You know, I've been there. Like, artists I respect, like, I tell artists all the time, I'm like, yo, please don't do something so dumb in a negative fashion that I have to write about you, because I like you, like, I respect you.
We gonna pot acting, about you.
Yeah, right. But like, you're acting crazy, and my job would be to write about you acting crazy, and it's not going to be personal, you know. I still got love for you, but like, I'm just doing my job. Like, I'm telling the story. I'm not trying to say, yo, like, this dude's acting up, he's crazy, everybody stop following him. Now I'm just going to give it to you straight. That's kind of what I've always tried to, like, maintain that integrity. But it's so hard in the Christian space, because everybody knows each other and we all see each other.
Yep.
And, you know,
right,
we're all interviewing the same people, you know, we're all at the same conferences. You become friends with people, and then you've got people texting you, yo, bro, like, can we do an interview tomorrow? And we, you know, right, you know, we'll do a dope interview about my project. And it's like, I guess, but like, but it's like, it's really not, that's not how it's supposed to work. Like, you don't call up, you know, Rolling Stone and be like, yo, let me get that interview. Let me get that front page.
Let me get that cover. Right.
And if they do, it's like, yo, let me get that front cover. And Rolling Stone goes, okay, it's $45,000 to get the front cover story. And then the label shells that out. Like, that ain't happening. It ain't happening with us at Rapzilla.
Yeah.
I might just get a nasty subtweet at me. That's about it.
Since you're bringing that up, how should artists reach out to you? You know what I mean? Because you said you get what, you do 500 reviews or something a week?
I get probably around 500 music submissions a week.
And that's usually, I'm gonna guess that it's usually, hey bro, check out my mixtape, support the ministry. Right,
500.
Some of them, yeah. I'll tell people now watching this, I read every single email. So it annoys me to no end when people hit my personal email or they hit my text message. Yo, bro, I sent you an email. I was like, I know, I'm the only one who goes through the emails. I saw it. Yo, bro, you gonna post me? Yeah, man. Sorry, I have 500 emails in front of you. I got you. I'm behind. Don't worry.
There's that many CHH rappers out there?
Well, then you get the same guys who's like, well, you know, I sent it in one time and they didn't respond. So let me send the same exact email 7 other times and see if they respond.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, some of it's like not relevant emails. Some, you know, people just submitting to whatever websites. Anytime I see the name Rapzilla in quotes, I just know that someone copy and pasted something and then just pasted the Rapzilla in between the quotes.
Right. Right.
So that one gets deleted. Anytime I see like an email that has like 17 to 20 different other websites on it, I was like, well, this wasn't just to me.
Like when they just CC everybody, right? They CC everybody. Right, it's right. Like personalized to you.
Like it's like Rapzilla, Track Stars, New H2O, you know, Complex, whatever they're on. Okay, that one's deleted. because it's like, yo, there's an etiquette to this thing. And there's a contact page. I wrote the contact page on Rapzilla. I even, within the contact page, wrote a whole guidelines on do's and don'ts on how to submit. It's every, I dropped like a, like 1,200 words on everybody. Wow. And you could read any of those words and find good things from there not to do, but people continue to do it. I dropped my artist tips on Twitter. You know, I actually have a book that I'm working on that COVID delayed just because of time constraints. That I've taken all my artist tip tweets and there's like 150 of them.
Oh, that's dope.
And I've expounded on every single tweet that I have, you know, a couple paragraphs, and it's just going to be a book of all artist tips and etiquette on, you know, how to properly,
that's good,
you know, speak to people. So I'll be dropping that. I was supposed to drop it this spring, but you know, things.
You got a name for that?
I do, but I can never remember it because it's long. So my whole podcast and everything I got is called, and the interviews I do like on my own is called Survival of the Artist. I get the Survival of the Artist podcast, and that's where I have artists on, talk about tips of the trade and how they, you know, survive as an artist in this climate. You know, that's separate from Rapzilla. So it's something like Survival of the Artist, tips and trades, tips and tricks, how to make it or whatever. I haven't looked at it in a while. You know, it's a work in progress.
So let me ask you this. So you're going through these 500 emails or whatever. This is for Rapzilla. Mm-hmm. Now, you also have New Age 2.0. And are you doing the same?
Yeah. So we bought New Age 2.0 with the anticipation that that was going to be kind of like the minor leagues of Rapzilla. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're not quite ready to get on Rapzilla, but we see the potential. So we'll throw you on New Age 2.0. But then we realize like we're kind of competing with ourselves on that. So we redesigned and we reformatted the whole website to be like a completely different concept. And man, we like launched it 2 months ago. We relaunched it and the whole website broke like when we relaunched it. It was working fine. And then we launched it and the whole website stopped working. So it's kind of just been sitting in limbo. I don't really know where it's at. You know, we're working on it, but it's kind of dead right now until we bring it back. But essentially the concept, and I'll give this to you guys, is it's going to be like a ranker based system. So people are going to come onto the website and let's just, for instance, you got like Lecrae, Andy Mineo, Derek Minor, Triple E. Right there, the four songs.
Right.
And then people will press like the up arrow or, you know, the down arrow. And then it gets like website ranker. Right, but it's going to be with Indie CHH, like the up and coming artist. So that's people will submit for that. And then like the winner of the week, you know, we'll give them a placement on Rapzilla, like Rapzilla. The playlist, whatever. The winner of the month, you know, maybe we'll give them an ad or something. The winner of the year might get like some package and, you know, get involved with a beat or something from OB. Like, you know, we were working out like all the kinks for that stuff, but basically a chance to have indie artists have their fans come and vote for them, or for people to discover guys that they may have never heard of before that may not make it onto Rapzilla, but it gives us an opportunity and gives people an opportunity to, you know, to get leveled up and get discovered. And then those people get rewarded for that. And then they graduate off of New Age 2.0 and they come to Rapzilla. So that's the new concept. Whole arrows and the clicking thing, it like broke on the website. So we're trying to, the whole concept that was supposed to work, like you press the arrow and then that happens, that's what broke.
That's a great idea though.
Thanks. So that was all Chad Horton. That was like his vision on that. I'm kind of glad that's not there now because that's more work I'd have to work on. But yeah, I get those 500 submissions, not including, you know, my personal email, not including all the artists DMing me on Instagram, not including all the ones DMing me on Twitter,
right,
on my personal Facebook page.
So everybody listening, be patient, man.
Right. And follow the instructions too.
Not only does he have
instructions in there.
He said the instructions are there. Read the instructions and follow them.
Follow them to a T. I have to set these rules and stipulations in place because there's so many. Like you might drop the dopest song ever, but like you don't provide a profile picture and like links to your social media. You know, now I got to take extra time.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, what? It's another 5 to 10 minutes. Yeah, 5 to 10 minutes. But you add that to like 100 posts that I got to do. that's a lot of time. So I have to skip you. And it might hurt, but it's like, nah, like, I'm sorry. Like, this was super dope. But you didn't follow the rules.
Right.
And this person next in line did. And you should get rewarded for following the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I have to put that system in my play in place. Otherwise, I'm going to be just doing submissions forever.
Right. That's true. Because you have other things on your plate too.
I got to do the interviews. I got to post the stories. I got to do the social media. But submissions take up a big, big chunk of that. And this goes for any website though, for any artist listening, make the person who's reading the emails job so easy. I don't want to have to click or go anywhere. Your name is there. Your bio is there. Your press pictures, your links, everything's in one shot. This is what I'm about. Here it is. Take it. And more often, and do it professionally, not like, yo, sup fam. This is my new single. Because we get people like that, and I'm like, yo, I don't know you. Like, you can't say like, sup fam, check it out. Like, I don't know who you are. You don't, like, you wouldn't meet somebody like that and like dap them up that way if you meet someone for the first time. Like, you're gonna shake their hand, you'd be a little proper
and kind of introduce yourself.
Yeah, like,
no, first of all, right, and first of all, like, sometimes they're not even following you. You know, it's like, bro, you could at least follow and engage or something like that before you go ahead and ask for, you know what I mean, to be on the site or something like that, or a repost or something like that.
I've had an artist try to be my friend, like, on the download so that I can put him on Rapzilla. And he exposed himself too, which was
Himself?
Yeah, like. And it was one of those situations where I didn't get to his song. Like, you know, I've been talking to this artist for a while, you know, just casual, you know, whatever, on Twitter talking. And he sent in a song, and it might have only been like 3 or 4 days. And he's like, yo, man, you're going to post my song or not? Little did he know that I actually had just finished posting his song, like,
really?
Minutes before that. And I was like, so I was like, okay. I was like, man, like, I got a lot going on. Like, I didn't get a chance. Like, I didn't say I didn't get a chance to post, but I was like, yeah, I was like really behind, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, come on, man. He's like, I'm in here. You know, I bought advertisement. You know, I paid you to write me a press release. I haven't been talking to you all this time and you can't even get me on Rapzilla. And I was like, oh, okay. Nice, thanks. Peace. You got the block.
Is that common in the industry? In the media industry?
It's not common for them to admit it, but it's definitely you definitely have like your ideas, like, yo, this person keeps talking to me. Why are they talking to me all the time? And then it's like, hey bro, you know,
want something?
You know, I got this album dropping on Friday. And I'm like, oh cool, send it to Rapzilla. He's like, yeah, but what's your email? I was like, I see it. Don't worry. Or they're like, bro, what's your number? I'm like, no, email's the best place to be. Telegram or whatever.
Yeah, they think they have the easy pass to you, right?
I give these artists my number sometimes, and they don't stop texting me or calling me. I was like, yo, hit my email. Like, you know, I got a family. I got things I'm doing. Like,
right.
You don't know when to call me. Or they'll call me like, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm more busy than the next person, but like, yo, if you're approaching me for business, like, schedule an appointment. Be like, yo, man, like, are you free at 3 o'clock tomorrow or, you know, 5 o'clock later? Don't just call me at like 11 a.m., like when I'm watching my kids or when I'm eating dinner or something like that. Yeah, like, I'm not quick to give out my number like that. I was like, yo, you need me? There's Rapzilla's email. And if we build some sort of rapport, you know, then we talk, we get on with something else.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yo, this is
That's
good.
Hectic. Man.
All you artists out there, pay attention. Get that book when it drops too.
Yeah, I drop it. All these artist tips have already been on my Twitter for free. So I've been dropping free game for years. Now you guys gonna pay for it. And it's
right. I'm about to say they're not listening. They're not reading. Now they gotta pay.
I've had people approach me that be like, yo, man, like, I learned a lot. And then I'll get that next email. And I was like, I touched another one. I saw that first email and that second one was much better.
Yo, you didn't give him the silent treatment like Carmen?
Yeah. No. It's like, who are you? Nah, man. Wow. I mean, Twitter's the and everyone watching, like, Twitter's the place to communicate with me. Like, you want to send me a DM on Twitter, you want to tweet at me. Like, I'm always on Twitter. My DMs are open. Don't like stalk me out on Facebook or
that's, you know, weird.
Be DMing me on pictures that I'm posted of my son and then being like, yo, you know, that your kids are cute. What about my next single? Like, I've had that. Yeah. Yo, like, I've had people, man, like asking about, yo, how do I get on Rapzilla? Like, on a post of my son. And I'm like,
cute kid, by the way, have you heard my mixtape?
Yeah, like, I hate that. Don't solicit your links either. Unless
they didn't put the links, they didn't put the links under the kids' pictures, did they?
Well, yeah, they would have if it wasn't Instagram, where
right, or they're not clickable.
Like, yo, unless I'm asking you for a link, don't send me a link, because it is 100% guaranteed I will not listen to you, regardless of who you are, unless we're cool like that, and you tag me, or like I'm like, oh, Justin's tagged in a post, and I'm like, oh, that's funny. I don't remember being in this picture. Right. It's somebody's mixtape cover or their new single. And it's like, yo, Justin. And I'm tagged in it. And I'm like, yeah, cool. I wasn't there. Why am I tagged in this? I didn't ask for this.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a wild west,
man. It's cloud chasing. West.
But let me ask you this. How does that feel, though? Because coming from where you came from and worked your way up to now be in a position where dudes basically fighting for your attention, you know what I mean? Like,
I get it. I mean, I've been there, but you know, I always extend grace. It's not like I never like yell at people or whatever, but at the same time, like when I was 19, 20, 21 years old, trying to become a musician, like trying to get somewhere, I was always respectful. Like, nobody, I had nobody to teach me, but I always sent like a respectful email. I never expected to get put on. You know, I built my relationships organically. That's how I've been able to get to where I'm at. I showed you guys like almost every step of the way. It involves some sort of relationship and hustle to like get onto that next point. Yeah. But there's proper ways to hustle. Like spamming the crap out of somebody is not.
That's not hustle. That's not hustle.
That's not, that's not Christian,
like,
either.
Yeah. Like yo, like build, talk to people. Like if I'm dropping, or anybody, if they're dropping posts, like engage with those posts, but like conversate. Like, I don't just talk about music all day. Like, I don't even, because my job is to write about music and I get so much music, it's unfortunate. Like, I don't really enjoy music anymore. Because to me, music is work. Right. So when they're like, yo, who's your favorite, you know, CHH artist, or like, what album are you bumping right now? And I'm like, I'm not really bumping any album because I've had to listen to like 50 of them this week. Like, you know, I don't have time to go back and get that replay value on something. It's like, all right, I listen to Dayton's.
Because you're on to the next one, right?
Yep. I listen to Dayton's new album. All right, now let's check out Jared Sanders. All right, now let's check out his Glory Alone album. And it's like, I rarely have time to revisit. So like, it's really the song or the artist really, really has to catch my eye or my ear when it's like, yo, this is special. And unfortunately, like, it's super hard because I just have music coming in everywhere, that like music is no longer my escape for things, which is unfortunate. But like, I'm not trying to talk about music like all the time. Like, I was like, let's talk about movies. Let's talk about sports. Let's talk about whatever. But please leave me out of your CHH drama. Leave me out of whatever's going on. It's like, this is my job. I'm not on the clock right now. Leave me alone.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. Tough, though. I mean, because you, like I said, this is something you love, and it kind of, you know what I'm saying, people fighting for that next post or that next whatever it is that they're looking for, a review, and it's like, dang, you don't got
it's like
worn
you're
out.
Using me. You using
right,
me.
You know what I'm saying? They got worn out. You got into this position. You
I
wanted.
Am. Yeah. The submissions wear me out, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never grow tired of actually interviewing people and speaking to people like this and telling stories. Like, we do that community during chaos show.
Yeah, I saw that. I caught that. Yeah.
Every Monday night. Three different artists every week. I've done it for 25 straight weeks coming this next Monday. Wow, that would be 75 man. People I've interviewed in 25 weeks. That that takes a toll. That, I mean, you think, oh, there's not even 75 people in CHH. Well, yeah, there is, because there's still like another 200 people that I haven't interviewed.
Right.
And like, I'm taking a break. Like this Monday will be my last episode. And then I'm going to bring it back in the new year, but you know, I need a break. But it's not that I need a break because like, oh, I hate this. Like I can't do it anymore. So like, yo, I'm like exhausted. It right. takes a lot out to interview three people every single week. And I got to edit those videos and I got to get everything together and create stories. So I just need a break to catch up on more work actually. And to right. do other interviews.
Yeah.
But like, I love telling people stories, and I haven't actually written an interview, like an actual sat down and like wrote a story, I think since like May or June, because I've just been doing all these lives. And I was like, yo, I need to write. Like writing was my thing. So I need to get back in touch with that. It's
like therapy for you, right?
Right, right. And people don't like reading articles anyway. So I know I could write the greatest article of all time. And I'm like, all right, cool. Thanks for reading the headline, guys. But like for me, I feel good. And the artist hits me up. It's like, yo, man, that story was dope. And then to me, that's like, that's impactful. Like when the artist's like, yo, man, this is the best interview someone ever wrote about me. And then I'm like, cool, I did my job. Like, that's what I love. And that's something I won't get tired of. Submissions, definitely. I'm tired of them now. They're the necessary part of the job.
That's what's up. Well, Justin, thanks for coming on. And where can people find you? Where can they contact you or whatever the case is? And whatever you got going on, please let everybody know.
Yeah. Well, first off, shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I watched your rise from a certain incident a month or two ago. That was hilarious.
Oh, you saw that, huh?
Oh, you did see that?
I seen a few things. A plus. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's dope to see other people in the space like taking initiative and doing different things and doing interviews and doing shows like you. Like everybody, no matter how big, how small, low budget, high budget, whatever it is, everybody is needed in this space. Just like we need rappers who are Christian and Christians who are rappers. Like they're both right. needed in the space because they all serve a different purpose, right?
Right.
So again, shout out to you guys. Keep Thank going.
Appreciate it.
This has been super dope. For me, you can follow me everywhere at Justin Saracek, just my name. So I'm assuming you could spell Justin and then continue on with Saracik. Not a Puerto Rican name because my dad is Polish. My mom is Puerto Rican.
What did I say?
Your quick story.
See?
What did you curse in Polish or something right now?
No. Ooh.
No, I'm talking to Ant.
Oh.
Nah, I was just saying.
Oh, I was like, wait, that's my name.
Nah.
He said Brussels or something like that.
Nah, I was just saying, because we had a conversation. Because I was like, Justin is Puerto Rican, but I saw his last name and I was like, that last name is not Puerto Rican. And someone was like, how you know? I said, that ain't a Puerto Rican last name.
Nah.
I told him, I said, what's Pumarejo?
That's how I know.
Yeah. My dad is like Polish. He was actually Jewish. He grew up Jewish and became a Christian actually not when he married my mother. But, you know, again, I had that uncle who had the church and got my whole family saved. And like my father was a byproduct of that.
Wow. That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, my mom's Puerto Rican. My grandfather was a super white Puerto Rican, had super white looking children. So that's why I'm a white, very white looking half Puerto Rican. And my wife's Puerto Rican and Italian. So our kids are just still half Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Half white, essentially. But yeah. It's dope. People don't believe me and be like, yo, let me introduce you to my grandmother. You will believe me mad quick. I gotta like wear this hat. Why are you wearing a Puerto Rico hat? But guys, I've been telling you.
Right.
So you don't speak Spanish. I know. I'm sorry. We don't all speak Spanish.
That's true. Switch don't speak Spanish.
Facts.
My mom speaks Spanish, but my dad didn't. So who was she gonna talk to in my
right.
house?
Who was she gonna talk to?
Yeah.
Right.
Even my kids don't speak Spanish just because and Spanish was my first language. You know what I mean? But it's not my primary language. So, like, who am I going to talk to? You know, like me and my wife and I were both born here. Like, we don't, you know, we speak English. Mm-hmm. So the kids, unfortunately, the kids didn't learn Spanish, you know. I mean, they could order food, right? They could order mofongo.
Yeah, we know, man, the food. We know the food. We know the bad words. We know what
you need to know. That's all you need to know.
We know what our parents are saying when they switch to Spanish, so we can understand what they're saying, but we figured it out by now.
Right.
Because they always say those same things every single time I walk in the room. So, you know, we're able to figure that out. Yeah, man, it's... I mean, Latinos are amazing because we're all different colors, right? We're the whole color spectrum. You look at anyone's family tree and they're anywhere from like black to milk. It's like, and that's my family. Wow. So like sometimes I stick out like a sore thumb because it's like, yo, who's the 6'2" white kid standing in the back with all these Puerto Ricans? That's my cousins. But yeah, man, it's dope. Thank you guys again so much. This has been a lot of fun.
No, man, thank you
for coming on, man. Thanks for the opportunity.
With that being said, we want to remind everybody, Black Friday is coming up. You go to shop that's not Christian.com. Use promo code Thankful, THNKFL, for 30% off. And if you listen to this by Cyber Monday, use Cybermon, CYBERMON, for 20% off anything site wide. Thank you again. We are the fastest growing Christian podcast. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and we'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.